Let me pray for us really quickly. Lord, thank you that we're together. Thank you that you are here. Thank you that you are our focus, Jesus, and you are our teacher. You are our center point. Jesus, we pause, we breathe. We ask you now to open our hearts and our minds and our ears and our eyes to embrace and receive every single thing that you want to say to us today. Use this to encourage us and equip us in every good work. And I pray this in Jesus' holy and powerful name. Amen. Well, how many of you are to-do list gals? Truly not everybody? Are there people who aren't to-do list gals? Oh, seriously? Oh, that's so interesting. I honestly thought everybody was a to-do list gal. I guess I just think everyone's like me. The reason I bring this up is because I'm in the middle of preparing a bridal shower for my niece, which is going to be tomorrow morning. And we kind of threw this bridal shower. She got engaged and a super, super short engagement, and she didn't want a bridal shower. And then I talked her into it. And so one of my daughters and I are putting on this bridal shower. And so, you know, when you're putting on a bridal shower, there's just a lot of details to putting on an event. And so, you know, I've got my checklist and I'm going through and I'm trying to get everything done, you know, the grocery store and the decorations and the plates and the cups and the, you know, serving pieces and all that kind of stuff. And as I was going through my checklist, it just dawned on me that the reason that we mark things off of our list is because we have an ultimate purpose. And the ultimate purpose, of course, for something like a bridal event, bridal shower, is that it's a successful bridal shower, that it's a beautiful bridal shower, that the bride feels loved and, you know, that people feel welcome. And you want this successful event, so you cross things off your list. Well, I've had to remind myself on purpose that the real purpose of this event is not that I'm just throwing this lovely bridal shower. I've had to actually pause in the midst of all this craziness of getting this together and say, okay, Donna, time out. The real purpose is that Maddie feels loved. The real purpose is that my sister feels loved and valued, her, you know, Maddie's mom. And the real purpose is that my guests walk into my home and they just feel connected and they feel encouraged, and it's like it's uplifting, and people walk out of my door and they feel better than they walked in. I mean, that's the real purpose. But I've had to remind myself on purpose of the purpose. And I know that your theme is living with purpose. And sometimes that can be a really nebulous thing, what our purpose is. But did you know that Jesus tells us what our bigger purpose is? And it's the same purpose for all of us. Now, each of us, of course, I know you've discussed this, has individual purposes that relate to our individual lives and our individual giftedness and our individual seasons of life and our individual circumstances, but all of us have one purpose, and that purpose is found in John 15. We're going to look at John 15 in depth this morning. You have notes. Do they have notes with them right now? Okay, so we're going to look at John 15. It is my favorite passage of, one of my favorite passages of scripture. And we're going to make this kind of organic, to be honest with you. And the reason I want to do that is because I want this to be real life. I want this to be something that isn't just, oh gosh, we heard this talk and let's discuss it. And now let's never remember it again. Because for me, honest to goodness, John 15 is one of my go-to chapters in the Bible that I go back over and over and over again. It's just one of those chapters in the Bible that really anchors me when I need anchoring. And the context is that Jesus gave John 15, it was just hours before he was crucified. So he's with all his disciples. They just had the Last Supper. They finished the Last Supper. They're walking through this vineyard. They're, you know, on their way to the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus knows, I'm going to die in a few hours. None of his disciples know that. They're totally clueless. They just think they had dinner with Jesus. And Jesus is trying to prepare them for their ultimate purpose. And so we read these words in John 15, starting in verse 1. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I remain in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Each branch, such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other." Now there is a key scripture in here, and I want you to remember it. It's John 15:16. And this is what Jesus says: "You did not choose me. I chose you." Why? Here's your purpose: to go and bear fruit, fruit that would last. Because I want you to look at me right now. I want to speak to you what Jesus would say to you. He would look at you and he would say, "You didn't even choose me. I chose you. I chose you to go and bear fruit, fruit that would last." That's your purpose. That's all of our purposes. So then it begs the question, what is fruit? Well, fruit replicates itself, doesn't it? I mean, fruit is the outward manifestation of like an inward reality. Like, if we have lots of fruit trees here in Southern California, so we don't really have to guess that a lemon tree is a lemon tree. We just look at the lemon that's on the lemon tree and we go, "That's a lemon tree," right? Because we look at the outward manifestation and it tells us the inward reality. So fruit is an outward manifestation of an inward reality. So we're supposed to live with this outward manifestation of what's inwardly true about us. Now, why is this important? Well, in the process of, you know, me planning this bridal shower, I was reminded about another bridal shower that I threw 2 years ago. And it was for my daughter Ashton's best friend. And again, you know, same drill. We had a lovely brunch. They're opening gifts. And one of the things that we did when we open gifts is, you know how sometimes when it's kind of a big shower, opening gifts can go on and on and on. And we thought, well, we want to keep the guests engaged while they are opening gifts. So we came up with this little game that whenever, we made a basket of questions. So whenever the bride was opening the gift that you gave her, you would pick a question out of the basket, and then you'd ask the bride that question. So, you know, "Where did you guys meet?" And, you know, "What colors are you decorating your house?" And, you know, all different kinds of things. Well, this was just a great success. It made it really engaging. And then, you know, the morning was going on, and one of the gals got a question. And the question was, "What do you want to take from your family of origin, the way your mom did her family and replicated in your family?" Pretty good question, right? This is how the bride responded. Yeah. My mom decorates the house really well for Christmas. I will tell you right now that when all of the guests left the house, my daughter Ashton and I were cleaning up, and I said, Ashton, did you happen to notice that when Carly got that question, how awkward that was? And she goes, oh my gosh, Mom, I couldn't even believe it. Now, here's the thing. I know Carly's mom, and actually, she's a great person. In fact, we would even say she's a successful mom. But what that told me was she is not a fruitful mom. Because whatever she had done in her personal life, the way she did her marriage, or the way she did her friendships, or the way she did her relationship with Christ, when her daughter was asked, what do I want to duplicate? Her daughter had a hard time coming up with something. See, fruit is replicated. It's an outward manifestation of an inward reality. And that's why Jesus says, hey, look, when you're talking about your purpose in life, oftentimes it's really easy to think of being a successful Christian, being a successful person, being a successful mom, being a successful businesswoman, being a successful you fill in the blank. But there is a really big difference between being a successful person and a fruitful person. A fruitful person lives their life in such a way that it so impacts other people that they say, that gal, she reflects Jesus. The inward reality of her is Jesus in her, and it comes out in her. And so I want to replicate what that is. That is fruitful. And that's what Jesus says. Hey, look. The world's gonna tell you to be successful, but I'm gonna tell you to be fruitful. Because here's the gig. You didn't even pick me. I picked you. And I picked you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that would last. Fruit that would replicate. Fruit that would be passed on. Fruit that would have a lasting impact. That's our purpose. Now, we're going to do that in a variety of different ways, depending upon our spiritual gifts and our passions and all of that. But in the back of our mind, it's kind of like what I keep having to remind myself. On purpose, think of my purpose. On purpose, think of my purpose. On purpose, think of my purpose. So then the question, there's two questions that become, if my purpose is to bear fruit, then the question is, well, what is fruit? Well, the Bible tells us. I'm sure many of you are familiar with Galatians 5, where it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, right? So that's fruit. So a fruit is our character. And by the way, who wouldn't want to replicate love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? I mean, isn't that what we all want? So that's one fruit. Colossians also gives us another indication of what fruit is. In Colossians 1, 9 through 11, it says, and so from the day we heard, we've not ceased to pray for you, asking that you be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So, when we walk in a manner worthy of pleasing the Lord and we bear fruit and good work, that's fruit bearing. So good works, pleasing the Lord, having a character quality of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are leading people to Christ. That's all fruit of our life. So that's what fruit is. But here's what ends up happening is oftentimes we hear these lists of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and you know, the fruit of good works and the fruit of being a witness for Christ and the fruit of living a life pleasing to the Lord. And what we end up doing is we end up thinking, okay, then it's all up to me to be this fruitful person. So I'm going to be really kind. Be kind, be kind, be kind, be kind, be kind, be kind, be kind. Bite your tongue. Don't say that. Be kind. Right? Okay. Or, you know, okay, my husband and I are struggling a little bit. You know, I need to be more loving. I need to be more patient. Okay, just be patient. Be loving. And we're trying to gut it out. Right? But here's the thing. Does a lemon tree ever have to go, come on, become a lemon? No, a lemon just stays connected to the lemon tree and out pops a lemon. In the same way, how we become fruitful people is by staying connected to Christ. And that is what this passage is all about. Now, here's what I just love about John 15. This passage is highly personal. It actually repeats several words. It repeats the word I, me, mine, you, yours 22 times. You know what that tells me? This is what Jesus is saying. I really want you to hear this, because this is what he's saying to you this morning. When he's saying I, me, mine, you, yours, mine, he's going, okay, look, this is about you and me. This is 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 just you and me. This is really personal. And then he repeats fruit 9 times. And then he repeats the word remain or abide. And he says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If a person remains in me, he will bear much fruit. So the whole way that we bear fruit is by remaining or abiding in Christ. Okay, so what does that mean? What does it mean to remain or abide? Well, that word abide literally means to live in, to stay connected to. So we don't use that word abide that much anymore, but, you know, I mean, people used to say, my abode, come to my abode. Remember that? Or, you know, you might say, you abide in San Clemente. That's where you live. Now, think about it. Where you live has a lot to do with how you live. Because since we all live in Southern California, we abide in Southern California, our life looks a lot different than people that abide in upstate New York. I mean, look what we have here. You know, it's March and the sun is shining and we have the ocean view and our life is just so much different than people that are living in the snow. Where we live determines how we live and what we do. In the same way, when we live in Jesus, it determines how we live. So he's saying, abide in me, remain in me, stay connected to me. And so it's an ongoing, continual living. Now, my daughter, Ashton, the one I'm doing this bridal shower with, she went to a college at University of Alabama. So for four years, she was away from us. But now she's back home and she's living with us. Let me just tell you, I mean, it was really cool that when she was in Alabama that we could text and we could call and we could FaceTime. I mean, we could go visit her. That was really cool. That was a great way to stay connected. But there's nothing like having her actually live with us again. That's more connected. What Jesus is saying is, I don't want you just to FaceTime me. I don't want you just to visit me. I don't want you just to like say, oh, I'm inviting you into my life. You know, come save me, Jesus. I want you to actually live in me. I want you to remain living in me on an ongoing basis. That's what this is talking about. So it's like just living in Jesus on a daily basis, living in Jesus at Target, living in Jesus, you know, when you're running your errands. That's what this is talking about. Now, this is why this is so important and why it's so freeing. Is again, Jesus says, I am the vine, You are the branches. What we so often do is we live like we're the branches. We live like it's all up to us. I got to figure out my purpose in life. What's my purpose in life? Oh my gosh, everybody says like you're supposed to have a dream. Make your dreams come true. I don't even know what my dreams are. I just want to get through the day, you know, and not wring somebody's neck. I mean, you know, and we just put all this pressure on ourselves. It's all up to me. 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 And Jesus is like, cool your jets. It's not up to you. You're not the vine. I'm the vine. You're just the branch. And the freeing truth is the only thing that we have to do from this passage of scripture, and he says it over and over and over again, is remain in me. 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 You just remain in me. That's it. All you have to do is abide. I want you to turn and look at the person next to you and just say, girl, all you have to do is abide. Really? That's it. All you have to do is abide. But you do have to abide. But you do have to abide. Because when we live disconnected, when we're not remaining, we're not abiding. And he does say, apart from me, you can do nothing. So if we want to live these fruitful lives where it's our real purpose, all we have to do is abide. It takes the heat off. When I was in college, I really started growing spiritually. I became a Christian as a child. I grew up in a Christian family. Was in youth group, was growing spiritually, but went off to college, and my sophomore year in college really started getting serious in my relationship with the Lord and started growing. And so wanting to grow in my relationship with the Lord, you know, I got involved in this Christian organization and was like, okay, have a quiet time every morning. So I remember I would get up, you know, my sorority house, and I'd sneak downstairs and I have my Bible, have my quiet time every morning. And, you know, I'd be involved in a small group, and I even went on a couple mission trips in the summer. And, you know, these were all good things. But my senior year at Christmas time, I was home, and I started feeling really overwhelmed. And I remember I was sitting in my bedroom, and I had this white antique rocker. It was like a wicker rocker in my corner of my bedroom. And I was sitting there, and I had my Bible open, and I was praying, and I was talking to the Lord, and all of a sudden, I started crying. And I thought, why am I crying? And all I knew is that I just felt overwhelmed, not with gratitude, but overwhelmed with burden, with this is just hard. This being a Christian thing, I mean, this is a lot of work. I'm just trying so hard to be this really good Christian girl. And frankly, I was getting burned out. And I remember, you guys, I can remember this. I literally was sitting like this. I tucked my feet up like this. I'm sitting in my chair, and I just started saying to the Lord, I can't do it anymore. This is so hard. I can't do it. And then I just stopped, and I just heard this sweet whisper of the Lord, and he said, I know you can't. But I can. And I tell you what Jesus was saying to me is, stop thinking it all depends on you. You're not the vine. You're just the branch. All you have to do is abide. Stop trying to be this perfect Christian girl, this perfect Christian woman, this perfect Christian wife, this perfect Christian mom, this perfect Christian neighbor. Just stop it. All you have to do is abide. You just abide in me. You and me. You and me. You and me. You and me. Just stay connected to me. Let me produce the fruit. See, this is This is the way the Christian life is meant to live, be lived. Now, the great thing about this is that our responsibility is just to remain connected in the vine, to abide. But Jesus is so committed to us living out our purpose that he does some things for us that we can't even do for ourselves. So look at what Jesus says in John 15 when he says, I'm the vine, the true source. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I'll remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine, and neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So right there, Jesus tells us he does a couple of things. It says, if a branch does not remain in the vine, he cuts that branch off. And then it says, the branches that do bear fruit, he prunes it so that that will be more fruitful. Now, I want to explain this because this is going to change somebody's life, all right? In the original Greek, when it says, if a branch is not remaining in me, he cuts it off, the original word for that, let me get this in the Greek, there is, the original word is a ero, and it literally means, it's translated, he takes away, but it literally means to raise, to lift up, and it also can be translated to take away or remove. Now, when my husband was in South Africa, he went to a vineyard, and they do things, they were showing him how they used to cultivate vineyards back in ancient days. And he came back from South Africa, and he was like, wow, that was so eye-opening. Because what they showed my husband is that in a vineyard, of course, the whole reason that they have a vineyard is to produce fruit, right? To produce grapes. So if there is a vine and it has somehow become disconnected to the branch and it's just laying on the ground, it's laying in the dirt, we tend to think, we read this verse and they go, well, you know, God just lops it off and throws it away and you're gone, you're done. But what they actually do is they take the vine out of the dirt and they lift it up. Now remember, this verb in Greek means to lift up. They lift it up and they gently place it on the top of all the other vines so that it can get sunlight. What Jesus is saying is that when we are in the middle of the dirt, what the Father does, because he is committed to us being fruitful, is he takes us and he lifts us up so that we can be more exposed, not to the S-U-N, but to the S-O-N, so that we can become fruitful. Now, some of you are feeling like you're living in the dirt. Some of you feel like I have become disconnected from Christ. COVID has just about killed me. This has been really, really difficult year. I'm not doing very well. I feel disconnected from Christ. I didn't feel disconnected to the body of Christ. I feel like I'm in the dirt. What Jesus wants to say to you is, remain in me and let me lift you up so that you can be exposed to the S-O-N and become fruitful. And then he goes on and he says, but if you are bearing fruit, he prunes that branch so that it will be even more fruitful. Now, in our minds, when we think of pruning, we think of the roses that have just been pruned recently here in the winter, where you cut them way, 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 way back. And then they're ugly before they're beautiful again. But in the ancient culture, that is not how they prune their vines. How they pruned their vines were they literally would walk, the gardener would walk through the vineyard. They would take every branch and take every leaf on every branch, take a solution of water, and they would hand clean every single leaf to get the pests off. That's how they did it. So what Jesus is saying is, if you're fruitful, I'm going to take you and I'm going to clean you, get rid of the unclean substances in you, the sin in you, the things that don't reflect Christ in you, I'm going to hand do that for you so that you will even bear more fruit. See how personal this is? See how practical that is? And this is all what God does for us. See, our job, what's our job? We just have to remain in Christ. And we let Christ produce the fruit. So this is the prototype of how Jesus wants us to live the Christian life. He just wants us to remember, I'm the vine, you're the branch, your job is to remain in me. Whoever remains in me, they will bear much fruit. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit and prove yourselves to be my disciples. You didn't choose me. I chose you to go and bear fruit, fruit that would last. This is all about fruit bearing and how it happens. We remain in the vine. He produces the fruit. I wrote about this in my book, Seek, but when JP and I, this was many, many years ago, and we were on a camping trip with a group of friends from church. And I may have told you all this story, but you know, JP grew up camping. I didn't, but our friends were like, come, let's go beach camping. It'll be super, super fun. I was like, okay, great. You know, I had my fun novel and I thought, oh, I'm going to put my toes in the sand and my beach chair and, you know, we'll camp and I'll be with friends. It'll be super fun. Well, we pitch our tent and it's kind of up high and there's wind and there's sand and there's dirt. You know, there's not a lot of trees because it's beach camping. And like within 24 hours, there is grit in every crevice of every human being in our family. I mean, our tent is like got sand all in it and our food's got sand all in it and everything's just dirty. And we were tent camping where there weren't really showers. And I started to get a really bad attitude. I mean, like a terrible attitude. And we were with friends though, friends from church. And so, you know, when you're with people, you can't really just go, you know, my attitude stinks. So you put on a happy face and you act like everything's fine. But inside, you're just feeling like this is just not working for me, right? And my soul is twisted like 14 different thousand ways and none of them good. So I'm realizing, okay, I'm about to have a meltdown. So I told JP, I'm going to go on a run on the beach. So I'm running on the beach. And I'm like, Lord, okay, what is wrong with me? What is wrong? I'm just trying to have a good attitude. I'm trying to be positive. I'm trying to be, you know, I'm trying to do the right thing. I'm trying to have fun with my family. I'm trying to like, okay, Lord, what is it? What is it? What is it? And then the Lord just brought to my mind Galatians 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And I'm running and I'm like, am I filled with love? Oh, no. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, joy. Oh my gosh, are you kidding me? No. Peace. Are you? Oh no. You know, patience. Oh my gosh. No. Kindness. No. Gentleness. No. Self-control. No. I mean, I just went through all of them. No, 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 no. And I realized that it was because, again, I was trying to produce this fruit. And as a result, there was absolutely no fruit in my life. But Christ was trying to say, I want you to be fruitful. So I want to clean up those areas that are not fruitful. And I want to show you that the solution is that you've got to get reconnected to me and be in a right relationship with me. And you've got to be living in me in order to be fruitful. Now, I tell you that because I want you to understand that this stuff is really practical, which is why I go back to it over and over and over and over. Because it's freeing, and it's the way we're meant to live the Christian life, and it helps us actually live with our real purpose in mind. Our actual real purpose. So that we live lives in such a way that people are drawn to Christ because they see Christ in us. We see the fruit of who Christ is living in our lives. Are we going to do this perfectly? No, that's why we need to be pruned and that's why we need to be cleaned and that's why we need to be lifted up out of the dirt. But our responsibility is what? All you have to do is what? Abide. But you do have to abide. All you have to do is abide. But you do have to abide. And then Jesus says, and let me produce the fruit, because I am the true vine and you are just the branch. See, our purpose is that we be fruit bearers. Our purpose is that when people look at our lives and they go, okay, what would you like to emulate about you? Like that. They're able to go, oh, this. You're this. You're loving, you're kind, you're peaceful. You're a prayer warrior. You lead people to Christ. You know God's word. You love well. And like that, they're able to say, the fruit in her, I want that to be the fruit in me. Because that's the fruit that comes from Christ. That's what this is all about. I tell you what, sometimes I think to myself, when it ever stops being about Jesus and me just living connected to Jesus, I've totally missed the point. I've totally missed the point. Jesus just goes, abide in me, remain in me. It's not up to you. And remember, you didn't really even choose me, but I chose you. That is a profoundly humbling truth. I chose you to go and bear fruit in your one and only life. Fruit that would last. Let me pray. Lord, help every single woman in this room, every single woman in this room, someday stand before you, Jesus, as a fruit bearer. Somebody who influenced other people for Christ because of her character and because of the way she pleased you and because of her good works and because of her love, because she truly reflected you, because she lived in you. God, free us from this notion that it's all up to us, and remind us that it's all up to you, because you alone are the true source. God, thank you for your word, thank you for your truth, and thank you for choosing us so that we could live a life on purpose with purpose. In Jesus' holy name I pray, amen.